back to the topic. Today's episode is going to be a little fun, but there's going to be some seriousness as well, so just bear with me. I do still hope that it is entertaining. I wanted to start off today by talking about finding your tribe. Us as human beings, you know, we innately want to be a part of a group. That's just in human nature. Most times that group is family, right? You don't have to choose them. They're yours to keep and you are theirs to keep, you know, good or bad. But what I'm realizing is that the older I get, meeting real people or meeting someone or developing a relationship, I should say, or a friendship with something that is more than superficial can be a little challenging at our age. I don't know if it's because people are content with who they have already, you know, like why no new friends, as Drake said, or the systematic values are different. I believe that when I was in college, I kind of got spoiled because, you know, most of my significant relationships that I have to this day are people who I went to school with. I mean, even some of the people from where I'm from went to the same college that I did, and we were able to deepen the friendship. So now they are what I call lifers. But living in a new state has shown me it's very rare to develop a friendship that's not just surface at our age. You know, you can have coworkers who end up turning into friends to the point to where, you know, you guys hang out outside of work hours. But anything that's really in depth in regards to who you are or vulnerability, that's not typically someone that you would meet on the job. But it can happen. I mean, I have two. I know for sure, since I've been in the state of Texas, that it is something outside of just coworkers. Matter of fact, neither one of them are my coworkers anymore, but we still maintain a friendship. But then at the same time, I think that in order to develop a deeper friendship, you have to go through, I would say, like trials or some type of issue, and then work around or through it, you know, for that friendship to deepen. I believe that, you know, sometimes friends can be closer than family. You know, with family, again, you can't really choose them. With friends, it's an act of choice. And the ones that really matter are going to put in just as much effort into the friendship as you will. Whereas, you know, like with family, you're just kind of stuck and you have to deal. And just to be clear, that doesn't take away from your family bonds. I mean, I have family that I'm extremely close with. I love all my family, for that matter. But there are some relationships that are closer than others. But with friends, I think it means something a little bit more when you have like lifelong friends, because one, they could be around your family or they know your family, and at the same time, you can be your most vulnerable self. I find that because I am a first generation college graduate, sometimes I have to be on when I'm home, and my family doesn't make me feel that way. You know, it's just something that I internally, you know, deal with. Which I'm pretty sure I'm not the only one, but with friends, you know, they are able to see you and your flaws and you don't feel judged. And again, I'm not saying my family judges me. That's more my own internal battle. But I do think that a tribe is necessary. And when I say tribe, I'm just referring to a group of friends that you can hang with or whatever. They might not even be friends with each other. Right? Like I can have a friend that's here and have a friend that's living in, let's say, California, and the relationships are totally different, but they are both members of the tribe. I mean, for me, sometimes, let me just say this, you know, I can be experiencing some really high highs, right? and at the same time experience some really low lows. And the ones that I feel more comfortable being vulnerable around are the members of my tribe. And the reason being is because more than likely we have a similar mindset when it comes to family, values, character, etc. And if I'm able to be myself and not really second guess anything around these individuals, and then they're legit showing love, then I think that that's important, especially at our age. Is it likely you're going to meet, I would say, people that are going to be more than just superficial? That's something that I guess I'm questioning. I mean, let's be for real. At our age, it's not many people we're going to get along with, right? Because we have experienced more, especially with people that are younger than us. We've done more than likely. And our tolerance, again, is not really there. I mean, especially when it comes to friendships. If it's going to be superficial, then I'd rather just not have it, right? Let's just stay coworkers. You do your thing, I do mine. We can laugh and kiki and still move forward. But I guess what I'm encouraging or trying to encourage, or it kind of plays a part into today's topic, about when I say I'm okay and I'm not okay and that's okay. My tribe kind of plays a part in that, but we will, you know, talk more about that when we get to the topic of today's episode. All right, so let's line it up just a little bit. We're going to go to the reality rundown. And, you know, this particular guy was on the reality rundown for another show for a different reason, but it kind of coincides, and he's had another incident, so we're going to talk about DaBaby. DaBaby's latest baby mama is Delilah, I believe that's how you pronounce her name, and they went viral for him allegedly trying to put her out of his condo with their 2 or 3 month old baby. I have empathy for her, you know, but I mean, I just don't see how you allow yourself to be put in that type of situation. Truth be told, in the beginning of their relationship, it was kind of obvious that it was going to be doomed to fail. I mean, people say you get them how you keep them, or you lose them how you got them, or however that goes. Because, you know, everyone knew about the baby's baby mama, Mimi. You know, they were definitely together. If they weren't together, they were doing things that people together would typically do. So it's not like, you know, it was unknown, I guess is what I'm saying. So when this situation went viral, you know, she did this video saying that he cheated on her when she was pregnant. I mean, but my question is, if this man cheated on you, why would you agree to live in his home? I mean, she has her own money. She's a songwriter, a creator, a singer, whatever. So why would you put yourself in a situation unless you wanted to be the quote-unquote family or, you know, with him? Which, you know, when she talks about it on these videos, she's saying that, you know, because DaBaby's saying that they weren't together. So she's saying, yes, we were together. And she posts these texts or pictures of them kissing and whatnot. But I guess the thing about it is that, you know, the pictures or evidence she presented does not mean they were in a committed relationship. It does show that there was a relationship, situationship, entanglement, or whatever you want to call it, but that does not mean that they were necessarily in a committed relationship. I mean, was she trying to force him to include her in his life? You know, it couldn't have been about the baby, again, because, meaning the little baby, not the baby, just to clarify. Because, I mean, that's a toxic type of relationship. It always seemed toxic, you know, especially after she dropped this yellow bone video, which, you know, was a disaster. I guess the question is, was she trying to force him to include her in his life? Which, I mean, I don't think no woman should. I mean, how you get him is how you keep him, right? everyone and their mamas knew about the babies and Mimi, you can end up meeting a man, you know, and when his baby mama, ex-wife, or ex-girlfriend, whatever you want to call her, when she comes up, you know, he would automatically say, you know, or we are not together. And then we as women, we lean on that. And we say, oh, he said they wasn't together as an excuse, you know, for said man. Just because they aren't together doesn't mean they aren't still fucking. I mean, the same way he played Mimi, it seems like it's the same way he's playing Delilah or Delaney, however you pronounce her name. I think the difference is that Mimi plays her position better. Delilah, you know, Delaney, you know, she may have a couple of screws loose, you know. Then she got hit with a simple assault charge twice. Why not just leave? Why are you trying to stay there to force this man to be more than what he wants to be to you? And then another thing that happened is that she said that she tried to be cordial with Mimi. I mean, my question to that is, was this before or after you slept with the baby? Seemed like that's a conversation that should have been happened prior to. And that's how she would have known, you know, what situation she was getting herself into. We as women, you know, we will compete for the same eggplant. Meanwhile, said eggplant is winning while having both. And, you know, the baby was, well, let me just say this, with as much respect as I can, the baby seems like the, you know, the type of fuck nigga that, you know, you should stay away from. You know, the one who will give you just enough, buy you things, call you baby, do everything a boyfriend would do, without having the conversation about the relationship or labeling it, so you can end up like her, thinking it was more than what it was, and he is freed by saying, we are together. Like, you bugging, when did we say we were together, is what he would say. And there are men out there that do that, and I'm not bashing anyone, I'm just saying it does happen. And we as women, we don't want to have the conversation, because we know that that conversation is not going to go the way that we want. So we give them time to figure out, you know, we give them time and try to wait for that conversation. And then some fuck shit happens. Now we stuck. I would just say, ladies, we have to hear the words and not assume by his actions. All right, we're going to go ahead and move forward to the next segment of the show, which is Let's Talk Politics. Today should be a good show, or a good segment, not boring, of the Let's Talk Politics segment. Right now in the House, it just passed in the House, but it's going to be going to the Senate. There is this big infrastructure bill, which, you know, there's a lot of debate about what's in it. Is it really even going to be beneficial? And Republicans are trying to block it, obviously. So that should point to that it does have some good segments, or pieces to it. I know, like, for us in the Black community, it's like, you know, no one is really fighting for us. No one really does anything for us. There's nothing happening. And in certain cases, that is true. But this infrastructure bill, I guess why I'm bringing it up is because there are people that are fighting. It might not necessarily be for the Black community specifically, but they are fighting for this bill to be passed. You know, before I talked about, you know, the difference between Democrats and Republicans, Democrats have a hard time with providing specifics to whatever their plan is. You know, they kind of just let Republicans do whatever they want or say whatever they want. There's not no real rebuttal or fight back from Democrats. And when I say Democrats, I'm talking about in the House or in the Senate or any politician. But I ran across this story earlier last week, and I knew that I wanted to talk about it in the politics section in regards to this infrastructure bill. Now, there's a couple of things that this infrastructure bill has that's so significant that people are boycotting or picketing or doing different things to try to put pressure on the members of Congress to pass the bill. There was a group that that legit did a hunger strike in order for Congress to go ahead and pass this bill. And when I say hunger strike, I'm not talking about in their house. I'm talking about they were in D.C. Sleeping outside, hunger strike. They were so dedicated to it that someone had to be hospitalized. But they are asking for changes or for the passing of this bill. Some activists have also staged a protest at a Democrat versus Republican baseball game. By the way, I never know that that was actually an annual thing. But it was, and some of the signs that, you know, people were displaying, at the, baseball game was like, Dems, don't fuck this up, or don't fuck up this bill. And this protest is done by a mix of people. It's not just white, it's not just black. There were a group of individuals with disabilities that also did their own form of protest and activism, because people in the community are really looking to Democrats to make sure that this bill passes. I mean, there are billions of dollars in this bill for the home, for homes and community-based care, so that those disabled individuals don't have to be institutionalized. They can get whatever they need in the home, whether it's a wheelchair ramp, whether it's an actual wheelchair walker, whatever it is to make their home more convenient, and so they do not have to go to any type of institutional care. This is also included in this bill, which no one is really talking about. Right now, the elderly and disabled are on a waiting list of up to 800,000 people that are waiting for some type of care or some type of assistance from the federal government or from state funded programs, but they do not have the funding to supply these disabled individuals their needs. There was also four individuals who were arrested for scattering their dead relatives' ashes on the steps of the state office building in D.C. And while they spread the ashes, they said, "We are bringing the death to your door." They're trying to get Bill 2297 passed. That particular bill would provide a way for the world to be vaccinated against the coronavirus and also help ensure that another pandemic doesn't exist or happen. I say all that to say is that this infrastructure bill, I believe that more people should be paying attention to. Something as significant as the cost of medication is going to also be changed with this particular bill. Right now, insulin costs up to $140, sometimes even $300 for individuals who have diabetes. And insulin is not the type of medication that is PRN. I mean, it can really be life or death with this particular medication, but they are charging astronomical prices to the consumer. But with this bill, the infrastructure bill, they are trying to pass a $35 cap, meaning no one can charge anyone, whether you have insurance or not, over $35 for insulin. Hearing aids will also be free in the new bill, which is covered if you have Medicare or Medicaid. Another thing is federal leave the federal leave program that covers anyone that's sick and, you know, right now in a professional environment, it has to be immediate family. But then at the same time, anyone that is experiencing a medical crisis, you will have up to 4 weeks off in medical coverage with this new infrastructure bill. They're also trying to pass free preschool for 3 to 4 year olds, which would help families. Because from what I hear, daycare is not cheap. More teacher recruiting as well. Because there's a shortage in teachers because really, truly, they don't pay enough. And what else is in the bill? I think that's, and they also are going to be adding electric cars for USPS, which I thought was pretty cool. there's a lot in this bill, and no one is really talking specifically to the consumers, meaning just the average American, about the benefits that this bill can have. I mean, the free preschool care alone is beneficial, and then the insulin just tops it all off. There are, you know, people in this country that people forget about, which is the disabled or hearing impaired, and this would be beneficial to them as well. That's all I have for the Let's Talk Politics section. So moving on to the next segment of the show, which is the topic. I titled the show, I Am Not Okay and That Is Okay, because today's topic, our question is, what does depression look like? A little background on me, I have 2 degrees in psychology, so you would think that I'm able to identify depression, right? Wrong. I couldn't even recognize depression in myself. Prior to being diagnosed, I believed depression was moping around or not being productive. You know, you can't get out of bed, or you're having these crying spells. I mean, it's the typical things people think of when they think about depression. I was not able to put it together that loneliness is also a symptom of depression. When you are an independent individual who, you know, has a sustained life, meaning, you know, you're busy, you know, working, you go out with friends, you do fun things, you don't see yourself as lonely. There may be little things that may bring it up, like for birthdays, or for holidays, or, you know, little things, you know, like for me as a female, taking out the trash. I hate taking out the trash, but I mean, I'm single, so that's something that I have to do. But I recently realized that, you know, even though I had a fulfilled life, you know, I can do whatever I want, you know, travel and all these other things, that I was actually still depressed. I mean, you can look at someone and, you know, see them smiling in pictures. You can see them, you know, hanging out with their friends and doing things, and you just never know what's really going on the inside. I mean, you can have substantial growth as a person and still be depressed. For example, for me, when the depression started, I was working on my 2nd degree. After I got my degree, I moved to another state, advanced in my career. I traveled internationally. But they randomly, sometimes things would just cross your mind. But those thoughts, you know, it did become clear to me in regards to, you know, thinking like, damn, am I going to get married? Am I going to have kids? You know, are seeing a happy, healthy relationship from the outside? That can contribute to loneliness. And just because you're lonely does not necessarily mean that you are desperate to have either. But then at the same time, those loneliness can produce it can be a depressive symptom, is what I'm saying. For me, I am realizing I have been depressed for a few years, and I realized that I did not need to be, you know, as someone who majored in psychology. Why didn't I seek help before? Why did I wait until now to try to seek help for, you know, whatever was going on internally? I mean, as a psychology major, I do believe in counseling. I even believe in medication. You know, with my previous position, I've seen the effects of someone not taking their medication, whether that includes, you know, suicidal thoughts, whether that includes being aggressive or angry, manic episodes. I've seen it firsthand. So I'm very much a advocate for mental health. But we as a community, meaning the Black community, we do see mental health as a taboo. We try to fix it ourselves in our own ways, or we seek, or if we do see a counselor or taking medication, we see it as a sign of weakness and we don't share. I want to be the one to just be open about my own struggles. This is all new to me, as well as, you know, for the people around me. When I was talking about the tribe earlier, you know, because I'm in another state, I'm not even, you know, I'm around family, but I'm originally from Louisiana. So living in Texas, even though it's like a 6-hour drive, my family is not here, you know. And the tribe that I'm referring to is individuals that I've been knowing for a very long time and a couple that I just met here, but they have poured into me. And that sounds like kind of like a prophet saying that pour into you, but they have given me the support even while I'm going through, you know, what I'm going through. One thing about me, I don't mope. I'm always trying to do things, you know, have a good time, you know, make people laugh and those type of things. But you can become so selfless that you're not taking care of yourself. I mean, think about it. When do we say, I'm not okay? When we really are experiencing or even remembering some type of trauma. You know, most times someone says, I'm okay, they really are not okay. That's just a way of saying it to brush it off and to move on to the next thing. Now, when I talk about tragic events, just to give you guys an example, one of my tragic events was being kidnapped a day before I started the sixth grade, and I still went to school the next day. I mean, now I'm realizing that that was a precursor for my brain experiencing trauma, glazing over it like it didn't happen, and moving forward, you know, out of sight, out of mind. I mean, I think about it now, and it was all, you know, all the while I was just practicing, not processing or feeling emotions related to any type of trauma. And that's just one traumatic event that's happened to me. But with me glazing over these events or something, you know, or expecting something bad to happen or expecting, you know, something, someone to disappoint you or being, and you feel nothing about it, that's also a part of depression. It can be a defense mechanism to, you know, not feel anything. So that way, you know, you don't have to deal with the hurt or the pain. But I do think that we need to be more open about mental health. We need to discuss mental health more. No, everyone is flawed. There's no such thing as the perfect person. So why not uplift each other, develop our own tribe, get into counseling if necessary, get on medication if necessary as well. So it's just my thoughts this week, guys. I just wanted to tap in a little bit with mental health. And I'm just saying this as someone who is actively trying to battle depression and anxiety. This podcast actually helps me with that as well, because I'm able to get my thoughts out and then try to reach someone else, which I'm always trying to do, is lend a helping hand if possible. Let me know what you guys think. Please send your responses or your own topics to the topicis@gmail.com. That's the with two E's, topicis@gmail.com. The website is www.thetopicchat.com. You can also catch the topic on Instagram and Twitter @chatthetopic. All right, guys. Thank you for tuning in. Until next time.